The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
December 17th, and it's almost Christmas, and yeah, we're here once again at the in the studios. Boy, I'll tell you what, time flies when you're having fun. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, and she's a ball of endless energy, and she gets all this stuff done. I can't even keep up with her, and she has heard more BS than a BOS meeting.
That is very true.
I mean, what more can you say about that? There's a lot of BS going on in Shasta County. That's what I got to say.
We have a special guest as well, but before we introduce him, we've also got Liam.
We got Christina.
I don't know why I got slash Liam. I'm sorry. It's Christina. I knew that. She's doing a great job in there. We really love her to death. But the kid that rocks around the clock ain't here.
No, he's on assignment. And I want to say Merry Christmas to Christina especially.
Thank you so much.
This is her first Christmas, really.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Well, it's not her first Christmas. It's probably her first Christmas in the United States.
Well, first American Christmas.
There you go.
I think they still celebrate Christmas.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they celebrate it in Russia or not.
Eastern Orthodox.
In Ukraine, we used to celebrate at the 7th of January.
Yeah.
Ah.
Eastern Orthodox. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
so it's like my first 25th.
There you go.
Last year I was here, but I was just looking movies and eating a pasta at home. But this year I will be my first tree, my first Christmas Eve, and everything will be first and nice, I hope.
Christmas isn't as fun when you're homeless.
I agree.
Just saying.
Well, that depends.
Okay.
We got a lot to cover.
Okay, we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents down there in Red Bluff. I'm not going to go too far into that other than to say thanks, Julie. We appreciate your support. Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, licensed and bonded. Also, Crackmaster.
Crackmaster down on Market Street. Go by and see Jeff Worse. If you've got a crack or chip in your windshield, he guarantees his work. He's a great guy down there.
Shout out to Marty McGill, Clear Creek Microgreens. Also, MountaintopMedia.com. We had another show upload this week. You can see it on Rumble or MountaintopMedia.com. Big O Tires. We got Jay and the gang. Okay. Now, we have a special guest today. And he's a doctor, not an advocate, or an activist, or not an abacus.
I'm not an abacus.
You're not an abacus?
Some people think I'm an abacus because I'm good with numbers.
Well, he's a doctor of mathematician.
In science, yeah, physics and chemistry, yeah.
I have to say something.
Dr.
I love his notepad. Because it's a graph paper. You do not see that very... You don't even see graph paper anymore.
And then he puts Delta signs on his Christmas cards. We have with us Dr. Frank, Dr. Doug Frank. I'm not sure whether I should call him doctor or what, but we could just call him Frank.
You could, but stick with Doug.
Okay. Doug?
You can call me Doug or Dr. Frank. You know, everybody knows me by Dr. Frank because I was in academics for many years, and my students all call me Dr. Frank, and so people know me as Dr. Frank.
Okay,
but it's not an ego thing. You call me anything you want. My dad always says, just don't call me late for dinner, right? Yeah. That's what matters.
It doesn't just say Dr. Frankenstein.
Okay. Okay. So you are a public figure. And you
turns out.
Who knew?
Whether you wanted to be or not, huh?
Yeah.
So you've got into this whole thing about election integrity in the last few years. You weren't really doing it prior to that, were you?
No. I'm a teacher and a math teacher, as you noted, as well. And so I always, with my students, would use current situations in the real world to force my students to have to apply their math that they're learning to those current situations. So, for example, every 4 years, I would have my calculus students predict the elections. Okay, and they would use differential calculus and Fourier transforms to do that. And it was a really good, they call it pedagogy, where it's strategy of teaching. And then, like when we had the Ebola epidemic, we would be modeling the epidemic. So I always try to pick some real world thing that was happening at the time that you didn't know the outcome.
That's
the trouble I always had with math. It's like, okay, algebra, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, yeah, and if you learn it in a vacuum, then, you know, you don't understand the purpose. But if you actually have to apply it while you're learning it. And then I tried to make it fun, you know, because we would, in my differential calculus classes, I say we're going to predict who's going to win the election. And then whoever wins, we have a pizza party, you know, and the loser buys. And so it's a fun, you know, it's not, you know, you're evil, I'm good. Let's see if we can use math to predict things. It's fun.
I wish I had you as my math teacher in eighth grade. That is the only class I ever fell asleep in. I woke up and I actually was drooling on the table and I was confused.
Algebra was okay. Geometry, I didn't like geometry. Yeah.
I hated
at all. But algebra was good.
Moving along. Okay.
How did I get into this is
yes.
kind of where that was going,
yep.
is that, you know, for 40 years I've been modeling elections with my students. So I'm not new to it because I've used it as a pedagogy for so long. And then because I was doing that, I was very interested, and so I delved into it. So for quite some time, but I would say not professionally, except in the classroom. So I'm not like a professional pollster or something like that. But I've become quite proficient at it. And so after the election happened in 2020, I was asked to look at the results from Pennsylvania. And when I did some initial analyses of the results, I was pretty shocked, and I showed it to the legislature there. And they invited me onto a team that they were doing a formal investigation. And that's when I was red-pilled. That's when I woke up. That's when I saw that there's a lot of fraud in our elections, and our legislatures are not going to address it.
Was there evidence?
You didn't think there was holy mackerel.
That's why they asked him back.
Does it matter that there's evidence?
That's a great question. And I spent all of 2021 learning the fact that it doesn't matter if you have the evidence. They're not going to address the system. They like centrally controlled elections. Every legislature in the country has centrally controlled their elections now. They like centrally controlled elections. And it's the same old story. It's the oldest story in the book. Governments always concentrate power. And so once they get power, they're not going to give it back to the people. And that's the situation we're in. They've got control of the elections now, and they're basically every state is ratcheting it in so that it doesn't go back out to the counties anymore. Your county doesn't control your election. The state controls your election.
Machiavelli could have bypassed a lot of problems if he'd have had Dominion voting machines.
There you go.
Yeah. So when you say centralized, how do you mean? Do you mean through the internet? Do you mean power in the hands of the body of the state and the central, you know, federal government?
I would say yes to all that, but not just the common internet. Most states have what they call a secure internal network that they're all connected through, and we
didn't know that.
And we've there are also federal networks, and you have them as well. After 2002, you can look it up. CISA, CISA.org or gov, I think it is the Homeland Security established a protection. Yeah, it's the government coming into town and saying, let us protect you. Run like heck. But we're here to protect you. But they've installed what they call Albert sensors all around the country in most counties to track all of the activity in and out of the county systems to protect them from malware. And that's a federal system that's basically networked the entire country.
Is that where they have all the private emails that nobody knows about?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting last night talking about the internet that you made the comment that no matter what type of machine, they are connected through this system.
They're not hardwired.
Which ROV tried to make it sound like, oh, there's no way because
they're not hardwired.
Yeah, neither is my phone, so that's really a stupid argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another unimpressive comment from your unimpressive ROV.
Yeah.
Who? The one who can't reconcile her election. We should call her Count Can't Count Kathy or something like that.
Yes,
because she is. I mean, her
or
election
no answer,
does
Kathy.
Not reconcile. You know. Yeah. What do I mean by reconcile? If you ask her, well, how many people voted in the last election? She'll give you some, you know, list of people or something. Mm-hmm. You can compare that to what she reported to the state, and it doesn't balance. Well, how come you can't even balance your own books? Imagine going to the bank and saying to the banker, you know, hey, my bank book says I have $105, and the banker says, oh, it's $101, and but it's okay, don't worry about it. No, you wouldn't expect it to reconcile. But that goes back to the earlier point when I tell you that your elections are not central, are not controlled locally. They're centrally controlled. So that's what that means. If she were in control of her own election, she could balance it. She could reconcile it. She would know who her voters are. But because she's not in control of her own election, the state is in control of it. She's just basically riding a runaway horse.
Are we talking about Clementine?
Yeah. Yeah, we were joking about that beforehand. I was, you know, remember when Trump was running, he would say like Lion Ted and Crooked Hillary and things like this. And so I was trying to think of something that we could say about Kathy. And I think Can't Count Kathy is pretty good. But while I was thinking about it, you know, I was like, oh, my darling, Shasta County ROV, darling Allen's out of balance. Can't Count Kathy ROV. So I was just, you know, playing around with the lyric there.
So I got a couple of questions.
Well, reconciling stuff really is confusing to me. So she just can turn in any number and they don't question it because they're in control of her. So it doesn't really matter what that is.
Right. I think we got to explain what you mean by not reconciling. So we've got, let's say, X amount of voters in Shasta County.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have X amount of votes in Shasta County.
Yes.
And evidently, X amount of voters doesn't equal X amount of people that voted.
Correct.
And it doesn't mean that the number that got sent to the state is going to be the same as what we had in the county, correct?
Right. And she can't even tell you who voted in your election. I mean, think about it. What's the simplest, most important thing that your county ROV would do? She would have a list of everybody who voted and what the tally is. Okay.
That's logical.
And none of those things reconcile.
So in other words, I've got a list of the votes that were tallied, and they equal 15,000, and I got a list of the voters
that voted,
are registered to vote.
No, the ones that actually voted.
That actually voted is 10,000.
Yeah, and so the two numbers don't reconcile. So, in other words, in most places, there are more ballots than voters. It's preposterous. And she'll have an explanation for that. She'll say, oh, that's normal, just like the banker says, oh, that's normal. She'll say, oh, that's normal, and you say, what do you mean? She says, well, like, after the elections, we always clean up the voter rolls. Well, what do you mean you clean up the voter rolls? Well, after the election, we always take out people that are dead or people that are
inactive.
After
they voted.
After they voted, yeah.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
And that's why it doesn't reconcile. And so, but see, she's not in control of that. The state's software is
running
that.
So what you're telling me is cheating is normal.
Well, cheating is enabled. The system is so so non-transparent and so non-connected. It's so connected that there are so many ways to manipulate it that nothing ever balances. It's like too many cooks in the kitchen. No.
But if you don't have to worry about it, what's the big deal?
Right.
So what if my numbers don't match?
She's not evaluated on that basis. In other words, if the state doesn't come to her and say, your election doesn't reconcile, Kathy, you better figure out what's going on. The state says, just look the other way and follow the check.
As long as we keep winning, who cares? And, you know, the old saying is numbers don't lie, only people do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I like what Stalin said. He says it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes.
You have to say that in a Russian accent. Like who counts the votes is what counts.
I get it. Spasibo.
You know, and what really gets me about this reconciling, and before we move on, is I do a lot of campaign stuff. I'm a treasurer for a lot of campaigns. And the state and the county, the ROV, will bust my butt if my numbers
don't reconcile.
Oh, Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, that's normal, isn't it?
That's double standards are normal, of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
why?
Let's talk about this voter fluctuation because I watched your other presentation when you were here before.
A year ago.
And it was like voop, over the top, yeah, that was impressive, but I didn't understand anything. Okay. Last night I got it. All right. Yeah. Last night I got it.
Well, I've had a year to practice.
That's what I'm saying. Your presentation was more because, you know.
It's we like, got smarter,
okay,
more
so
knowledge.
I'm a tax guy. I could start talking tax law, and I could run it, and you'd go, what? It'd be like that Goofy Gopher cartoon with the Indian. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. And my eyes would glaze over.
Yeah, because you're not used to the vernacular and the wording. And looking at graphs, and I still look at graphs and my eyes glaze over a little bit. Because it's, if you know how to analyze them and you understand the graphs, they can create a lot of information to look at and dissect. But last night I think I finally got the fact of the convergence of the lines into one and how they were cheating and the fluctuation of before and after the elections, I think is what was the most. Could you explain how that
worked? When the machines got introduced.
Yeah. What I was showing last night is that every state is centrally controlled. And you know, I don't like to just make unsubstantiated claims. So to show you that every state is centrally controlled, I gave you two states as an example. I gave you Wisconsin and Wyoming. And I picked Wisconsin because it's in the news and everybody hears about it. And I have really good month-to-month data. And I showed you that right before every election, their voter rolls surge. And those people vote, and then they take them out of the rolls afterwards. And it happens over and over again. And I showed you about 15 years worth of that to show you that that's not just a one-off. And then I said, and it's not just Wisconsin. It's also the most conservative state in the country, Wyoming. And so I showed you their rolls do the exact same thing. So, you know, a lot of people like to say, well, this is a Republican or Democrat issue. Especially here in California, you feel the oppression of the Democrat. So you naturally say, well, the Democrats are the evil people. But guess what? In every state I go to, it doesn't matter whether it's red or blue. It's both parties. It's whoever's in power ratcheting in control of their power. And so, you know, in the state of Kentucky, they've got 105% of their people registered. Go figure. And in Oregon, which is a blue state, 105% of their people registered. So see, it's not a red-blue issue. It's whoever's in control. And in Kentucky, we call that the McConnell Mafia. So it's not about, you know, Republican, Democrat. It's really about central control.
So in Wyoming, it's Gang Cheney.
Although they took care of
that.
They got
rid of her. Yeah, they got rid of her.
Well, and that's kind of where my point is that if the people overwhelmingly vote one way or another, it's very hard to cheat because then it becomes so skewed that you can't hide the numbers.
Yes. That's how they get rid of her last year. And they did something really amazing. I showed you a graph again. Sorry, I like graphs because you can convey a lot of information. But I showed you a graph of their legislative session. And I showed you that they had 26 conservative Republicans who voted conservatively and 26 quote-unquote Republicans who voted with the liberal Democrats. But I didn't get to it last night, but that the 26 red dots who were voting conservatively on that graph, there were only 9 dots like that before the election that got rid of Cheney. So in other words, they built up a really big public movement, and they were not only able to get rid of Liz Cheney, but simultaneously they improved what they call the Freedom Caucus. They took it from 9 conservative legislators to 26, and they're working really hard to get 6 more. If they can get 6 more, they'll have an unstoppable majority in that state. So they're working hard, but it takes a huge public movement to overwhelm the cheating in the elections.
Well, you know, in the old saying, I mean, I call them Republicrats, you know, as well as right.
Oh, that's a good one.
But the problem is with these guys is that they try to play this thing off take the J6 committee, for example, we got 2 Republicans on there, so that makes it okay because they're Republicans. Really, I mean it. I'm not kidding this time.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks Liz Cheney and what's his name, Zinger, I always call him the Zinger. Because all he does is cry and mumble, and I can't think of his name. Kinzinger?
Well, there's a lot of those.
Well, that too. Yeah. But the point is that they're playing both sides against the middle for control of the elections.
Oldest story there is in the book, right? Governments centralize power, and they seek to firm up their power. That's what they're doing.
We do have a question in the chat room. Who are the upper players in his election scheme? Not sure.
I know how to answer that because remember last night I told you in the early days when I first started working for the state of Pennsylvania at their request. So I was given access to everything. And I told you last night that there were 32 NGOs who had access to the
border. Oh, yeah, you did. Yes.
Okay. Well, I could tell you who the top four NGOs were doing the manipulation in the state of Pennsylvania. And the first one surprised me, actually. It was the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I thought, when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, what is the Hillary Clinton campaign doing in the state voter rolls of Pennsylvania in 2020? I thought that was history. I thought that was 2016. And when I asked the legislators, they said, oh, no, we understand what that is. In 2015, we hired the Hillary Clinton campaign to write an app for phones and tablets to help them register people to vote at rock concerts and college campuses and things like this. And those login credentials were still active. And so somebody was doing that. So that's why that
is. But there's no cell phones left because they all self-destructed after the election. Right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bleach bit or whatever. And then the second highest manipulator in the state was CTCL, Center for Tech and Civic Life, and that's Zuckerberg. That's, and that money, we've proven all around the country, that money was flowing in buckets into NGOs all around the country.
So Zuckerface, Berg, was Soros involved in any of those?
I don't have direct evidence of that, but I would assume so. And related, because I'm a data guy. I only say what I know.
Right.
And so I know that CTCL and the third one was Rock the Vote. And the fourth one was Antifa. So those
Antifa?
Yes, you'd be surprised. And there were 32 of them. Those were the four major ones. And you're down.
I thought Antifa was just an idea, or was that Black Lives Matter? I don't remember which.
Well, what happens is these NGOs, they get grants, and you know they write a grant, and the grant sounds great. Oh, you know, if you give us this grant, we'll go out and work hard, and we'll find 100 disenfranchised people, and we'll get them to register to vote, and we'll encourage them to turn in their ballots. And it sounds all good, but what they really do is they just go out and they illegally register people to vote and illegally stuff their ballots. Yeah. But they make a lot of money that way. You know, and here.
That was the other thing I want. That's
the money piece about the ballots,
People getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for the paper ballots.
Oh, yeah. The going rate around the country is about $50 for ballots. So, you know, if you've got a ballot in your hand, you can take it to an NGO and they'll buy it to you for $50. But down in Los Angeles at UCLA, the students were being offered $200 a ballot. So think about that. The students, the smart ones, would go back to their dorm room and order absentee ballots for all their roommates.
Or order some pizza or something. Well, yeah, have a pizza ballot party.
Well, what about here when they said that we could print our ballots right off the internet?
So you see how there's like no chain of custody on that?
Yeah, I mean it's like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Who was making the money there?
Exactly. And so, you know, a student who just rakes in a few, you know, that's $200 is a lot to a student. And you let him collect 10 or 20 of those, you know, he's paying for his tuition.
Yeah, just look what he could do in mom's basement real quick.
Exactly. Well said. So the money is just flowing in. And so it's kind of like a drug bust. You know, there's lots of levels. You know, do we really care about the mule that's stuffing the ballots at the end box? Not really. That's like arresting the user, you know, a drug user. You're really trying to go
they'll
up
just
the ladder.
They'll just hire another one, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw 2,000 mules. Okay. And we know that there's cheating. We're not even talking about the fact that they were cheating on the machines or on the harvesting of the ballots or all of this stuff, the math, all. But, I mean, you got the FBI withholding stuff. You got Zuckerface over there at Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, colluding with, not the Russians, but the FBI is probably colluding with the Russians.
Yeah.
And all of these different ways that they're cheating, we could go on and on and on.
But back to 2,000 mules real quick. They did the same thing, though. It was a bunch of nonprofits in the different areas.
NGOs.
That they were using to carry out their mission.
That's not evidence, is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why when you said, you know, who are the upper players, we know who the players are, at least at that level. And then we know that a lot of the money flowing into the NGOs is CTCL. We have direct evidence of that. And then I've spoken to several investigators, federal investigators, that have made other claims. But it's who you think, you know, money's flowing into the system from, you know, globalists and people with, you know, bazillionaires who want to rule the world, you know.
Oh, I don't know. Nothing like central bankers and WEF and Klaus Schwab and company.
Exactly.
And all those those same players.
Yep.
I don't usually
talk about this stuff because it makes me sound like a wackadoodle. I stick to the facts, and I have plenty sticking to the facts.
You should see him light up when he starts talking about graphs.
I know.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
So do we want to, because we're real close to a break, we could take a break and come back and see where we want to go from
about
there.
Solutions and stuff.
Yeah, how about, how's that sound?
Sounds good to me. You guys are running the helm here.
All right, we'll take a break. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I got some good.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Man, it does a show sad to stop it. And I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and snow.
Whether you're born country or the country lifestyle was born in you, celebrate Christmas country style at the Christmas celebration of the decade at historic Hawes Farms, a country Christmas playground where folks gather to play as hard as they work. All ages invited and all are welcome. Catch a ride on a country-covered wagon or the mighty Hawes Express and view lights on the farm. Warm yourself by glowing fires, roast s'mores, sip cocoa, and enjoy the friendship and freedom that these country folks have enjoyed for over 150 years. Let the kids loose to enjoy all the rides from go-karts to roller coasters. Ice skate for as long as you like, free, thanks to Hawes Ranch and Farm Supply. Reserve your ticket to ride today at historichawsfarms.com or simply head out to Hawes Farms and yell, Merry Christmas. They'll know what you need. And have a very Merry Christmas from Greg and Nicola Hawes.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi. Do you like Christmas? Of course, we all do. But do you also like COVID? Me too. So we're thrilled to present a 22 CD box set of all your favorite COVID Christmas carols. For one easy payment of compliance to the government for the rest of your life, we'll ship you this amazing set, which includes...
Fauci baby, slip a vaccine under the tree for me.
Wow, social distancing.
Fauci baby, just give me all the boosters you have.
What a classic. But that's not all. Each box set comes with some loose COVID to breathe in, motivating you to get that vaccine. And who can forget this holiday classic?
I'll be vaxxed for Christmas. With the shot in me. Please have Pfizer and J&J and Moderna by the tree.
Brings a tear to my eye every time. So trying to think of the perfect gift from Santa? This set will have your loved one saying, ho, ho, hovid. Just listen to this classic song.
Grandma just got COVID by Cuomo. At the nursing home where she did dwell.
Now you could say that Cuomo's a good governor.
But Grandpa tells me that he's bound for.
It came upon the mandate clear that glorious dictator of old, with Biden presiding over us, we ain't gonna be catching no cold.
And if you order right now, the next COVID variant will be named after you. Step aside, Omicron. Here comes the Jeff variant. Now that's a value you can't put a price on. Plus, you'll get this song.
What variant is this that's spreading around? Is it Delta?
I don't know.
Is it Alpha?
I'm not sure.
Is it Omicron?
So throw on these carols, gather the family round, and then shame them for gathering and not social distancing, while this old chestnut roasts in your ears.
Get resty, boosted, gentlemen, your virtues on display. If Fauci said jump off a cliff, you dutifully obey. Yeah!
Order now and you'll receive all these hits and more.
By watching this commercial, you are legally bound to purchase this CD box set. Refusal to purchase will result in re-education. Failure to be re-educated will result in a mind wipe. Mind wipes are a product of Pfizer Pharmaceutical. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
You're listening
wow.
to the Sabbath
That
mind.
Video really blessed my heart. And I hope it...
That's all right. Sovereign Mind Radio.
My.
Home of the Free Fire Media, where we try to make the hits keep on coming. Anyway, a little fun for Christmas there.
A little truth behind all that, you know?
Hat tip to Babylon Bee on that one. So we're back here with Dr. Doug Frank, and let's talk about some solutions and see what we can come up with. Have we dissected all of the problems?
Probably not. There's not probably a lot
close.
More. Yeah, a lot to go yet.
We would need a couple more hours to dissect all the problems. You know, the main problem we hit in the first segment was that the elections don't reconcile. And I would say the second big problem that you would have, and we can get into if you want, or we can get into the solutions, maybe we can do both a little, is that the voter rolls are growing faster than the population. And what really, that's a symptom of the fact that your voter rolls are very dirty. And anybody who's got a copy of the voter rolls and gone knocking on doors is stunned, is shocked how many doors they find all these people that are in the rolls that are not real voters. They don't live here anymore. They're passed away. They're not real, whatever. And I would say maybe one in four of the voters in your rolls don't belong there. So imagine if you're mailing ballots to all the people in your voter rolls. Okay, you just basically, you know, make the math easy. Let's say that you mail out 100 ballots and that 30 of them go to people who aren't real people. All right, then the remaining 70 go to real voters, and let's say 60 out of 70 of those vote. That's pretty simple. And let's say it's a close election, so it's 30 to 30. 60 ballots come back and it's 30 to 30. Well, guess what? There are 30 more ballots floating around out there that didn't have a real destination, and all you have to do is scrape up a couple of them, and because there's a cash value on them,
right.
You know, there are people, homeless people out there, drug addicts out there, students out there scraping up those ballots, turning them in, making, you know,
hey,
single moms.
You can make a living during election season, yeah. $50 a pop.
Are you kidding? And so that's the situation you're in. And the fact that you're mailing ballots out to everybody with dirty voter rolls is so dumb, but that's what you're doing. So you're basically giving away your elections. But you know, that's another problem. I could go into more problems, but I bet you those two.
Those are two big problems. Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I heard on the last election was, well, you got three conservative. Supposed to be four, but according to everybody up on the, well, according to some of the board, they're all conservatives and they're all Republicans and absolutely on the side of the Republican Party, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Clementine was saying that you could see that there was no cheating and there was no fraud and there was nothing wrong with the elections because you know, we got three conservative, maybe four elected.
If Clementine wanted to prove to me that there was no fraud in her elections, all she'd have to do is take down that huge gate she just built in front of her offices and let us in there and let us have a look. But you'll notice that every time they say there's nothing to hide or there's no fraud, they hide everything. So that's why I think it needs to go back into the hands of the people. You need to have access to everything. If you have a machine and you want to count ballots with machines, I don't recommend it. But if you wanted to, okay, you should be able to open up the machine and see every component in it. And you should be able to look at the source code. You should have access to everything. But they don't. They're exactly the opposite. They say, just trust us because we're not going to give you access to anything. So I like it. Maybe we should be starting to call her Clementine. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have a question. You've been all
oh,
over.
My darling.
Yeah, you've been all over to all different counties, all different states and everything. Is Shasta County one of the few that the ROV counts or clerk counts their own ballots?
There are about 35 cities and counties now around the country where they're doing hand counting of their ballots. But I always remind people that it doesn't matter how many times you count the cash in a cash register. What matters is how many of the bills in that register are counterfeit. So how you count the ballots is less important than are they the real ballots from the real voters.
I should clarify, her own election. ROV counted her own election.
No conflict of interest there.
Isn't that standard practice?
It sort of is, although not all election officials are elected.
Good point.
And some are appointed, some are hired. It just depends. I always tell people you can't fix broken elections with broken elections. And if your elections are corrupted, you're kind of.
You can't fix a broken register of voters if she's the one counting her own ballots and they're cheating.
That's my point.
Right. You're not going to be able to fix that problem with an election.
Yeah, you have to do a recall or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if she'd count on a recall.
That requires an election. So, I don't think you're going to be able to, and that's why it's such an important issue. That's why it shouldn't be done by a third party. It should be done by you, the people.
Right.
The people should be able to do every aspect of it and everything should be transparent. It's too much, there's too much writing on this.
You mentioned yesterday that when you examine some of these machines, and they're all the same as what you said, whether it's, I can't remember the names, all the machines.
Heart was one, and Dominion.
Dominion ES&S.
There you go. Yeah. So you said that when you're examining them in Pittsburgh, they had like 36 modems in them?
Yeah, you're talking about the Mesa County situation in Colorado. With Tina Peters. Yeah, we did forensic images of her machines. And Tina, she's a patriot. She's an honest person. And I'm not saying that, you know, most clerks in the country are as corrupt as Clementine. But most of them are honest. And they don't believe their machines can go online. And so when we did forensic images of Tina's machines and found 36 modems, she was stunned. She had no idea.
Do you think that's the same for our local vote counter, is that she believes that everything's on the up and up?
No, I don't think the same thing about your situation. I think, you know, it's kind of like what I run into around the country with secretaries of states. I've met with dozens of them, you know, long in-person meetings. And I'd say 10% of them are just dumb as walnuts. And then 10% of them, you know what's going on and they're complicit. And then the middle 80%, they just don't even want to look too closely, because if they look too closely, they're going to have to deal with something. And really all they're interested in is climbing the political ladder anyway. So
collecting a paycheck.
Well, and in our case, we've got somebody who's getting ready to retire. She knits a lot of sweaters. Mm-hmm. I don't think she cares at this point, because you're seeing some of these guys are starting to bail out, whether it's Judy Flores or whatever, because I think that they see 2024 writing on the wall economically. I think that people are starting to realize this thing's going to have a problem here soon. You can't just keep counterfeiting money with no backing and buying your own treasuries without a problem. So I think that she's gone here pretty soon anyway, and then we've got somebody to step in. But if we don't solve the problem, we're right back to square one.
Right, and if you listen to her, you remember one of her sayings is, this is the way we've done it forever.
No, that's not true. For 200 years, we counted our own ballots and one day voting with photo ID. We counted our own ballots in precincts. Okay, so no, that's not true at all. You know, she's no spring chicken, so forever is a long time for her. I saw a lot of gray hair on that head when I looked at that picture. So I think forever is too big of a word.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Remember that. So there's an issue here. In the strategy going forward, what I do is I teach the local citizens how to find fraud in their elections. And this could be a double goal. One, you've proved fraud in the election, because when you prove fraud, then that shows that the system is enabling your constitutional rights to be disenfranchised from you. So that's important. But the second thing is, wait a minute, if she's the one who's been doing it, quote unquote, forever, and there's fraud in the elections, then who's responsible? And I think you could take legal action against her. If you could get her, you know, fired earlier, then maybe you could save some money on those pensions.
They'd have to do a recall. And
maybe not if she got fired. But anyway, we do have a caller.
Let's go.
We've got Siskiyou Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Hey, I really appreciated last night. It was a great event.
Yes,
it
was.
I'm sorry that, you know, for the population down there, I'm sorry for the turnout. But Dr. Frank, thank you so much for coming.
There was a lot of things going on last night, in fairness, too.
There were at least 100 people.
There was a lot of Christmas parties going on. Yeah. I know people were going. And there was at least 100 people.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I thought it was a good job.
In my mind, it's priorities. I drove all the way down there and gave up a Christmas party up here. So anyway, you mentioned the sheriff, and I'm a big advocate of that. I was wearing my hat last night, constitutional sheriffs and peace officers.
I was wearing my CSPOA pin yesterday, my Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association.
Yeah.
I was wearing that yesterday.
Well, I was hoping to speak more about that afterwards, but the questions got too long and I had to get home.
Yeah.
So I really, the only way that the sheriff has the power, though, is the people have to stand behind the sheriff.
Correct.
Because, you know, I'm not going to go out there and put my ass out on the line like LaVoy Finnegan did and not have the people behind me.
Right.
And the sheriff is not going to do the same.
Agreed.
You know, the people have to support the sheriff before he can insert his power, and that is complete power over your county. And nobody from the state can step in.
That's exactly right. And I think I did allude to that, you know, if
yes,
the Secretary
did.
Of State comes in and says, oh, you know, we're going to force you to vote in this way or that way, the sheriff can simply say, excuse me, I have constitutional authority in this county, and I have the keys to the building, so my people are going to vote the way that is safe and secure and disenfranchise them from their constitutional rights.
I'm not too happy about our sheriff, because he said that he wouldn't support the Constitution when it came to open carry either.
He took an oath that says to protect the people.
I understand, but I also understand what he said. He said that if he saw you open carrying, he would arrest you.
But you got to remember who was backing him, too.
Well, I'm just saying you're absolutely right. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm saying you're absolutely right. You have to have the backing of the people to support that, because the sheriff is going to take the easy way out, and generally speaking, because if nobody's backing him, why would he put his head in the news?
I've met a lot of good sheriffs across the country.
You know, your radio station reaches a lot of people, so I try to say things that are going to reach out to the populace to get them off their backsides. The question I have for Dr. Frank is, if I may, what would it cost us up here in Siskiyou County to have you do your charts, and is it possible? It sounds to me like you can go into the counties and get the info through the internet and through your knowledge of what you've been doing for the several years, I guess.
I already have your data, and I don't charge.
Sounds to me like you guys just need to communicate and set something up.
Yeah.
And you have somebody that he can call to get on a schedule.
If you just send me an email, I'll connect you to my planners. I'm booked several months in advance. Right now they are.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that yet. I need to prove to the people that you need to come up here. But first of all, I need to show them the charts that our elections are, because, you know, we have one city councilman now is an ex secretary of the county.
Okay. If you want to see what I've already done on Siskiyou, which I've already done some things on Siskiyou, go to my Rumble channel. My Rumble channel is Follow the Data with Dr. Frank, and I've done the whole state of California already, including Siskiyou County. And I've got I've shown you analyses by precinct. I've shown you analyses by county for the whole state. So go to my Rumble channel, and you'll see it there for California.
Very good.
I'm just really interested right now in Siskiyou because I can't get these people to be convinced that the voting machines are frauds.
Well, and you know, maybe that's not your gift, but it's my gift. That's why I'm saying get my butt up there. I'm free.
I know, but
schedule
first of all, I got to get enough people to get you up there.
Well, I don't charge, all you have to do is...
100 people down there. I might get 30 here.
That's enough.
You know, and I would be embarrassed to bring you all the way up here.
Why? Because if you get 30 there and they see it, and they might start talking to your neighbors. That's how
it's
we started down here.
It's a numbers game.
You don't win the contest by winning it first. You get me up there. I'm good at this. I explain to people. I'll help you build a movement.
Okay, I'm on it.
All right, very good. And we'll help you promote it. We'll help you promote it. Keep us in contact, and we'll whoever we can reach out to. All right, very good.
That's like saying you can't get saved till you get pure, you know.
Great show, you guys. Great show.
All right, thanks, Steve. We appreciate it.
I want to talk about fraud and public opinion in the Board of Supervisors meeting. I want to get to this solution, and this is one of them that I thought was pretty big, is that you've got to actually prove some fraud here because this charts don't – I mean – charts prove fraud if you examine the charts, but, you know, when we're talking about fraud, we're talking about people that vote illegally, ballots that are being counted illegally, and there's certain fraud that is irrefutable if it's caught and checked and prosecuted.
So I tell people that the graphs are great. They lead you to the fraud, but they aren't proof itself. They're evidence that leads you to the proof. And so we document cases of fraud. You know, for example, if a person died in 2006 and you got the copy of the death certificate and you can look at the voting records and they didn't vote for 10 years and now suddenly they're voting in every election, that's a case of fraud.
Somebody's doing that.
That's right. It can't be the dead guy, you know. Right. So we find actual cases of fraud. Why is that important? It's important for two reasons. One, fraud, there's no statute of limitations on. So it can become an active legal investigation. And Shasta County now has an open case. The sheriff's office has opened a case. So that's one. The second thing is that every case of fraud is disenfranchising a real voter from their ballot. So, you know, if a fraudulent ballot is cast, that just nullified your vote. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that disenfranchises you from your constitutional rights. And the example I always give people is, you remember a couple of months ago, the governor of New Mexico ordered a temporary ban on open carry, speaking of open carry. And when she did that, 70 sheriffs in the state said, not in my county, you know, because why? Because that you can nullify that policy because it violates your constitutional rights. And so when you find fraud that is disenfranchising you from your constitutional rights, you can nullify any state policy that's doing that. So that empowers the citizens to say to the state, sorry, you want us to vote XYZ style, but we're going to vote our way because your way is violating our constitutional rights. It empowers them to nullify the state policy.
So last night you mentioned that we were going to start bringing up fraud cases at the Board of Supervisors
meeting
every week. So evidently you have some fraud cases.
Oh, boy, do we.
And how do you go about finding that fraud?
Yes.
How do we get people involved in finding the fraud?
Yes.
And we want to have this shown at every, and of course, you know, the media is sound bites and sound bits. And,
right.
You know, they don't report anything. I mean, so you've got to get it out on other alternative places like this and wherever else we can get
Rumble,
it out there.
Wherever.
Rumble, wherever. But you've got cases evidently that,
Oh boy, do we.
So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, what we do is we take the voter rolls and we only look at people who actually voted, because dirty voter rolls is not fraud. You know,
right.
You go to a house and there are 10 people registered and they have 10 different last names and none of them voted. Okay, so what? That just means it's an apartment and people have been going through there and they haven't cleaned up the voter rolls. That's not fraud. What's fraud is when you go to a house and somebody's lived there for 10 years, but there are a whole bunch of different last names at that house and they all voted. Okay, so what we do is we go knock on that door and we say, hey, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we're here verifying the voter rolls. It says that you know, it's the Smiths, the Jones, and the you know, some other last name in your voter rolls, and they're all voting. And you show it to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and they say, no, it's just me and Mama. Who are these other people? And so then you document those cases. You know, they live there long, and we research it. We try to find out, you know, are they former residents? Do they ever exist or whatnot? And we form cases of fraud. And what we find is unassailable cases, I call them. If you find a dead person who's voting, that's obvious. They couldn't have voted.
Is there anybody to prosecute there? Because can you find the guy who's actually doing it?
Sometimes you can, but usually not, because it's usually cybercrime. Cybercrime, you know who's logging in. Like I mentioned in Pennsylvania, you know who's logging in. You know who has the credentials, but you don't know whose fingers are on the other side
exactly,
of the keyboard.
Yeah.
So I'm less interested in the prosecution as I am in proving the fact that these systems that you're using open you up to bad actors who can take advantage of it and stuff ballots. And, you know, like school board elections or county supervisor elections, they're usually not won by thousands of votes. They're often won by only hundreds of votes. So it doesn't take a lot of fraud to tip those kind of elections. And you have a big one coming up in March. So I would encourage you as a county, as this is a specially charged one, to not use the machines, to do the whole thing by hand, to do the whole thing in plain view. Then if your supervisors lose fair and square, fine, they can step down fair and square, but I can predict already that you know, Clementine's not gonna cooperate, although you don't need her permission, she works for you, but nevertheless, that's why we want to do the fraud stuff, because if you can prove the fraud stuff, you can say this system is not working, we're not using it.
So how do you take her out of the equation of the just everybody shows up and you take over the elections? What do you do?
Well, there are a couple of ways to do that. You know, if you can get a court to put a restraining order, that's just, all you have to do is prove that the actual fraud's in it. And
so if you got fraud and you're proving it, you could get an injunction maybe?
Yeah, that's one way to do it. We've not been very successful at that. The way we've been the most successful is when the supervisors of a county say, we're not going to do it that way, and because we've been presented with evidence. And so we're going to put in an emergency order. We're going to say, you know, it's like, we got a serious problem with this election, so emergency order.
Well, that's what they've
so
been doing.
She would
to
have
chief.
To follow it, right?
Exactly.
That's what they've
if
been doing.
If the board of supervisor told her, we are going to do it this way, she would have to follow that or step down.
Well, she'll claim that she doesn't answer to them, that she answers to the Secretary
correct.
Of State. But that's not right. They pay her salary. Okay. But she's going to say, oh, no, I'm not under that, except that she is.
Can they cut her salary off?
Oh, yeah, they could. They can have a budget. So,
yeah.
But my guess is the state would jump in and pay her because she's in collusion with the state. You know.
Right. So, but they could file an emergency order.
Maybe that's what we should call her, collusion, Kathy.
Collusion. Kathy, collusion, Clementine. I don't know. Oh, my darling. Oh, shit.
Calamity, yeah.
Crash dummy.
Crashed.
So the solution really in the end, and the caller even brought it, the solution in the end is to inform the public, educate the public, so that they know, look at all this fraud that's happening, and then that gets the public riled up, and the public says, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. That's how they got rid of Liz Cheney in Wyoming. They got the public
we
riled
got,
up.
And we got 3 minutes.
Yeah, he made a good point about the hand counting, because we were involved in a recount.
Gary Gadd got elected by nine.
Nine votes. Vote difference
votes,
made
yeah.
the difference in that vote.
Nine votes is a piece of cake, you know, to cheat. That's only $450. It's cheaper to buy votes. It's cheaper to buy the votes than the campaign.
Yeah.
Kathy, I never wanted this for you.
Oh, wow. I just couldn't believe it when you said last night that they went, you know, you could buy ballots and stuff. It never entered my head, but, you know, I'm not a... criminal.
So they're especially available in your state because you mail them to everybody in the voter rolls, and 30% of the people in your voter rolls don't belong there.
So last thoughts. I got one question out of the chat room. Did you know that Abe Lincoln warned against mail-in ballots? I don't know about that, how factual that is. But,
so did Hillary
that is
Clinton.
Factual.
So did Hillary Clinton. So did everybody on the left. You remember, Hillary Clinton was complaining for 4 years that the Russians hacked our elections. Okay, this is not... this is not
we got we got only a minute or so here, so any last parting shots here before we go?
Last bit for you.
Wake up, people. reclaim your constitutional rights. You either use them or you lose them. And voting is a huge right. And if right now your votes are being stolen from you, you need to get involved in your community. You need to support your supervisors because they are trying to fix this problem, but they're up against a, you know, it's a David and Goliath situation. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal and they need every bit of support. So you got to definitely got to support in the upcoming election and you got to support their movement. Their plans to do the hand count rather than machine count.
Very good. So I guess we'll be going to a break here, a hard break. We have Dr. Laura Hobbs on next.
We do.
For the next hour.
And we want to say thank you for coming in.
We appreciate it. I want to have you back. Yeah. You know, even if we pipe you in on Rumble or something.
I'd be
awesome.
Delighted. I mean,
yeah, that would be good.
Happen. If you want my commentary on what's going on. Because there's going to be some stuff happening. There's going to be fireworks here.
Yeah. Awesome.
Perfect.
We're
right.
in for that. So
now, you have all of the information.
I will get it from him. And with that, we will go to the hard break, and we will see y'all in about 5 minutes.
Merry Christmas.
Very good.
Merry Christmas.
Might and did you know?
Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herron. Both Russia and Ukraine have reported dozens of attempted drone attacks in the past day. Ukraine's Air Force says they shot down 30 out of 31 drones overnight in attacks on 11 different locations. Russia says it shot down 32 Ukrainian drones over the Crimean Peninsula. Meanwhile, North Korea has been shooting things off, another test missile into the ocean this morning, rattling South Korea. South Korean officials say they're not sure how big it was or how far it went. Boeing says deliveries of airliners are up.
That's after deliveries were slowed earlier this year by manufacturing problems. The company delivered 56 commercial planes in November. That's nearly as many as September and October combined. Most of the planes that were delivered to airlines and leasing companies were 737 MAX jets, including 8 to United Airlines and 7 to Southwest. Deliveries bring in cash because buyers typically pay Boeing a large share of the purchase price at delivery. John Scott reporting.
The United States returns some antiquities to Greece.
The United States is returning to Greece 30 ancient artifacts, including marble statues, armor helmets, and breastplates, found to have been illicitly removed from the country. The pieces handed over to Greek officials in New York date back from as long as 4,700 years ago to the Middle Ages. The works were collectively valued at $3.7 million. The return follows two similar operations earlier this year involving 29 antiquities and last year when 55 works were returned from New York. Keith Peters reporting.
The leaders of Italy and the United Kingdom agreed yesterday to tackle irregular migration in Europe, pledging to intensify cooperation in the fight against human trafficking as well. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
Kuwait's ruling emir has died.
Sheikh Nawaf al-Ahmad al-Jaber al-Subah was always destined for positions of power. The son of the 10th ruler of Kuwait, he was appointed at the tender age of 26, governor of the Kuwait governorate of Hawali, a major commercial center. He went on to hold a plethora of top jobs. In 2006, he was officially designated crown prince. Then in 2020, he was sworn in as Emir of Kuwait. His rule was marked by deep and long-standing political disputes, but the Emir was something of a peacemaker. The pardons he issued for dozens of dissidents were widely viewed as a step towards national reconciliation.
BBC correspondent Mike Thompson. Serbia's populist President Aleksandar Vučić hoping to further tighten his grip on power in local elections today. News and analysis at townhall.com. They call it a major drug bust.
Four California men charged with running a drug ring that sent hundreds of pounds of cocaine and methamphetamine to Australia, New Zealand, and other parts of the Pacific. Authorities say the shipments were disguised as everything from car parts to instant noodles. Two of the men are now in federal custody. Two others are fugitives. Investigators seized more than 1,600 pounds of meth and 200 pounds of coke. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 17th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including iconic actor Armin Mueller-Stahl. He is 93 years old. The Pope was born today, 87 years old, the pontiff is. Actor Bernard Hill turned 79. Rock musician Mike Ellis of REM has 65 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Mics are hot, everyone. Be careful what you
yeah.
say.
Okay, I guess, I feel like I'm in a fishbowl here. We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're here, and we have our next guest, which is, who is? I don't know which is. Who is?
Who is?
Who is Dr. Laura Hobbs? And I didn't even know she was a doctor till last night. I guess she doesn't advertise the fact, but you actually have a degree in microbiology?
That's right.
There you go. All right. So, guy, you learn something new every day, you know? Who knew Trump could sing?
Yeah, that's it. Well, you never know. He might be able to. We don't know that, but that wasn't really
I don't know. You know, this AI thing is spooky stuff because it's like if they're getting to the point where somebody could be doing a speech in front of the White House and you wouldn't even know if they were real or not.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's kind of freaking scary. Just saying. I don't know.
I've been saying it for a long time. Anyway.
Let's get on to our Make Shasta Great Again campaign, and that's your slogan.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm completely MAGA. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. I love Trump and what he's done for our country. I think the election was stolen from him in 2020, and I plan to vote for him again in 2024.
There you have it.
I have to say, I kind of like that opening statement, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what's there not to like? Because, I mean, I think everybody knows it was stolen. I mean, even the people on the left know it was stolen, but, you know, it's like they know, we know that they know that we know they know, you know? Yeah. And now it's like, okay, so now what do we do about it, I guess, is the question. So let's start out with...
Yeah, let's just go down some of the key things that you're putting out there that you want to do or how you feel about certain things. And the first one is Of course, we just spent the last hour talking about fair elections, so let's just go with that one.
Yeah, perfect transition.
We need a drum roll.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because last night I attended Dr. Frank's event, and there was a lot of good information there. I got to speak to some other constituents from District 2 because I'm running for supervisor in District 2, and I asked them, what's the most important thing for you in District 2? And the lady was like, well, fair elections, you know? So a lot of people, they look at the local stuff, but they also look at the broader picture, which is that we don't have adequate representation in this county at the county level because of the fact that our elections are being stolen from us.
Do you know what I think just grates me the most in this county, probably the state, the nation, is all the people that say they're conservative Republicans. Now, there's some that are, don't get me wrong, but there's a ton of them that say they're conservative Republicans that never do anything conservative, or I guess the platform of being Republican is supposed to be a person who you know, thinks the Constitution was a great document written by brilliant men to keep and preserve our freedoms forever. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that those types of Republicans are being revealed. They can no longer stay in hiding. People are aware of what they're about. Typically, they're called RINOs now, Republican in name only. And we do have some folks like that on our board. And they use the stance that they are fiscally responsible conservative. And that's what the platform that they stand on is, just fiscally conservative. But socially, they're very much liberals.
When we say fiscally conservative, right now, I don't know what the numbers are, but I think our county's like deep into unfunded liabilities and, you know, the CalPERS system, and we've got the defined benefits where everything's matching to, despite what the stock market does and the rate of returns on all these investments, which, by the way, CalPERS is, last I heard, was investing in China. I'm sure that's a very solid investment. But so what do you think being fiscal conservative is?
Well, I think it's asking difficult questions to all the county departments. It's reviewing the budget and not just rubber stamping it. It's going line by line, and it's saying, hey, why are you spending $25,000 on a wrought iron fence in the ROV office? Why are the taxpayers funding this? You're blocking us from our own elections and spending our money to make that happen.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, we've been calling for an audit, or forensic audit, for a long time. I don't understand why the county hasn't done that, because everybody's talking about how much money you spend, and you're spending here and there. How do you know what's going where or what if you don't look at it?
Well, my,
instead of just rubber stamping
my experience in government, which is pretty extensive. I work for the city of San Mateo. I work for the Cal Fire. California Department of Forestry. That's way back in the day when I worked there, and the Army. All of this. So when I hear that, most of the time, my experience has been that departments get rewarded for overspending as opposed to getting rewarded for saving money. And I'd like to see, I'd like to see how that would be changed, because, you know, at one of the board meetings, I saw that, Patrick Jones, by not taking a salary and not taking, some benefits, saved like $500,000, and nobody cared. He didn't get applause. So I'd like to see some incentives for departments showing how they could save money as opposed to spend it. What do you think?
I absolutely agree, and I think the forensic audit would enable us to do that and not just look at the financial aspect, but also the efficiency, you know? So what are you getting? What's the bang for the buck there, you know? And is this money being used wisely, and what's the product we're getting out of it?
Well, if I have somebody who works for me and they don't produce anything, it's pretty a measurable thing.
Yeah.
Because you can usually see it. I think that gets hidden in a lot of these departments.
Well, in the government, it kind of works the opposite in a lot of their budgets. If they don't spend that money, they don't get as much next year.
Right.
So they're They're just spending it.
There's no incentive.
Why should they? Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, when I worked for the Forest Service when I was 14, I watched them actually bury supplies so that it would not be reflected in their budget. Like that. I mean, I'm serious.
Our dad said that about the education system, about the books. They would dig a big hole and then just bury all last year's books and cover them up.
I'm not saying that's happening here, but what I'm saying is that incentive to not reduce spending has been there for a long time.
Yeah. And I think we need to kind of, as citizens, look at our government differently. We need to not just, look at what services they're giving us, but we have to understand that they are serving us. They're serving at the will of the people, the consent of the governed. And when they, when the bureaucrats get emboldened, by their authority and, empowered also by these budgets and don't have accountability to the people, then that's when you have an unbalanced system.
Right.
Well, and transparency,
I was going to say, I remember some of the, government officials in this county saying, the only way you get good police officers or whatever is you've got to pay them, like they live in San Francisco. And that's not true. That doesn't make a person a good person or good at their job just because you pay them more money. Like you say, what's the bang for the buck there?
Yeah, exactly. And, I think that we need to source from within our county more. We don't need outsiders that come in, grossing this big salary, telling us how to do things. We have plenty of skilled and talented people here within Shasta that could use a salary, a decent salary, not a highly inflated salary.
I heard another program you're on with Terry, and you talked about the urban pay scale and the pay scale. You showed the population density in the different areas. I'd like to talk about that a little bit as well.
About the suburban and the rural.
And also that if you get elected, you're going into a meat grinder, right? You know that, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be fun down there because there's so much agitation across the board.
But we do have a caller on the line. We've got Arthur on the line. Are you there? Good morning.
Morning.
You're on. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I did have a question. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Good to go.
Yeah, I did have a question.
Okay, go.
It's kind of like, day one of the president.
You're breaking up, Arthur. You're breaking up, Arthur. Maybe call back on another line
there?
Or something. You're not getting through.
I'm here now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, just like on day one of the president, he gets to go in there and write some different policies, presidential policies. We have to be really strategic about what happens when our guys get in. So my question is, if we were able to do an audit and find out what pots of money we could actually change, then we could make some big changes. Do you know if there's any pots of money out there that aren't allocated that we have to spend, that we could divert to something else?
Unallocated funds? Not that I know of. As a citizen witnessing the budget hearings, they don't give you all of the figures, so you're just kind of given generalities, and basically what they did last year is they said, well, here's what we spent last year, this is what we need this year. And it wasn't line item, so it wasn't, we need this much for that and this much for that. It was sum totals. So as far as unallocated funds, I don't believe there are any unallocated funds specifically. Do you have something in mind there?
Well, going through all these budgets on the school boards, and we've found out in Gateway there was some like $19,000 a month they were spending on something, a service that no one ever used for several years. So it's kind of those things that we'll have to go through with that fiscal audit to see, are we having funds that are allocated for a service that we aren't using and that,
Absolutely.
No one's actually.
Yep, that's a very good example, and I think we need to, that's what the forensic audit would yield is, what are our allocated funds that aren't producing a product?
Right, yeah, so I think that's you know, our supervisors really need to hone in on that stuff and study. And I know on our school board, at least mine, there's several people that don't actually read the agenda. Mm-hmm. And several people, I would imagine, might not read the agenda going into city council and the supervisor. So we need people that are actually going to put in the work and find that kind of stuff so that we could actually benefit Shasta County.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Sometimes those packets, the agenda packets that the supervisors get are hundreds of pages long.
And you don't get them in a timely fashion.
Yeah, a few days before.
You don't even have time to read them. It's kind of like the Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi package where, oh, you have to read it, or you have to pass it to find out what's in it, you know.
Exactly.
And we need to figure out a way to rectify that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably the best way to do it is increasing how many meetings you have, because their thing is saying that they have to pack everything in there, but if you're only meeting twice a month, just increase it to every Tuesday, and then you only have half of it to read.
I think they've already increased the amount of meetings that we were having prior to the election, before we got Jones and Kevin and Chris. So maybe we should increase that even more. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're probably one of them or all of them are listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it takes a lot more because the board president or chair is going to have to go down and meet with the staff and comb over data and put all that stuff on the agenda so you can vote it on Tuesday. But it'd be more manageable if you only had to read 250 pages instead of 500.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're on the school board, the SCOE board, right? And that's only meets once a month. So I can see how, especially in your case, it's even a more exaggerated situation where you have a lot more to process, a lot more to do in one day. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we meet twice a year to go over a $100 million budget.
Wow.
And, you know, they give us a week before and then a meeting before the meeting to comb over that data. But, you know, when you're spending $100 million a year, you think that you'd probably meet a little bit more frequently to discuss such matters.
So one would think.
So is staffing doing all of the calculations and all of the putting the budget together?
Yes, every board, the staff, and that's when you talk about bureaucracy, but you have unelected staff that are putting together all these things. And, you know, they're great people, and they're working hard, and they have a job to do, so they want to do it well. But everything that you get brought forth to you is from the staff report. And then that is curated by the board president and your superintendent at the school board, and at the county it would be curated by whoever your board chair is and the CEO. So you really have to have people in positions of authority that are on your side that want the same vision as you do if you're going to make great changes.
Hmm. Well, listen, I want to get go ahead. We got, you know, we're half an hour in almost, and we still got quite a bit more of
topics we want to cover.
But we do appreciate your call, Arthur. It was very enlightening.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to let go on for as much as possible because I think you got a lot of good things to say there.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys have a great day.
You too. Thanks. We appreciate that.
So the next is lockdowns and
vaccines.
Vaccines. Thank you. A little slip of the tongue there.
Mandates.
And what are your feelings on those?
I absolutely oppose them in all forms, all shapes and all forms. I don't support vaccine mandates. I don't support max mandates. I don't support lockdowns of our schools, closing of businesses. I think now we've been through this and we found out it was based on a huge lie. People were deceived, and eventually everyone woke up and saw, yeah, it was a big lie. They tricked us, you know, they tricked some people more than others, but basically everyone's wise to it now, and nobody's going to fall for it again.
Well, you know, the old saying is that if the government can take your rights away during an emergency, we're going to have a lot of emergencies.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, at first people didn't know, you know, especially the elderly, and then they got, you know, exposed more and more. So one of your other issues is homelessness, and I heard part of what you said in the other program about that. But can you tell me exactly what you meant by that, by using the, you know, code enforcement that's already on the books and stuff like that, how that would work?
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of it within the city of Reading would be the RPD, but also the county-wise would countywide would be the sheriff's jurisdiction and the jurisdiction of the board of supervisor. And that, for that, we need to know, are our laws that we've already decided upon being enforced properly as it comes, as far as it relates to homelessness. So it's public, camping, you know, loitering, drunk in public, those type of ordinances that we decided a long time ago, that we held as important in our community. Are these still being enforced properly? Right. And you can see a big difference in cities when they do decide to enforce these laws, like what happened in San Francisco not that long ago.
Yeah, well,
all you have to do is be the Chinese dictator, and you can go in and everything's cleaned up. It's magic.
Well, it's kind of interesting you say that, because I was told that some of the areas where the homeless people are, let's say, for example, like on I-5, mm-hmm. that the board of supervisors and stuff are told, just leave them there. You just let them be. You're not supposed to do anything. And it's like, really?
No.
Well, you know, there's got to be some kind of law or whatever that they shouldn't be able to do it. But for whoever to be telling people, no, just leave them there. What's the problem? Just let them be.
There should be some kind
of
No,
that's not right. And I think it's probably higher up in the organization. I would want to investigate that and find out where the orders are coming from on that.
Okay. Well, you know, what about Charter County? I mean, what do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea, and as long as we have the board majority, it could be done in our favor. But if the board majority shifts, it could also take away our rights. So we have to be very clear and careful how we proceed. I think if you put it before the voters to vote upon, that's the safest and best way to move forward. But we need to have more strong local ordinances, specifically about election issues. And, for instance, we could put in a local ordinance that the ROV, she cannot preside over her own election, so she would have to recuse herself. Something like that, which would then bolster our ability to choose and elect our government officials.
Are you for hand counting? You listened to the last segment that we had with Dr. Frank. What do you think about
what he said? Machines or not?
Yeah. Exactly. What do you think?
I think we need to do hand counting 100%. And I don't trust the machines at all. And I'm saying that about all the different vendors. They're all, as far as the what we're seeing with the cast vote record data, they all show evidence of fraud across the board. So there's not one good machine, and actually a lot of them use the same software. So a lot of the proprietary software that we're not allowed to witness or see originated from the same source.
It's just interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's interesting.
I never thought about that. But, yeah, so the makeup of it is all coming from the same place. So what difference does it matter what your machine, whether it says heart or, I mean, it's
or
like,
Dominion,
Dominion or whatever. It could say anything on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter as long as the software is coming from where and they have control.
Well, it's just interesting that you can't get in and examine the machines. You can't examine anything. Well, you know, and like I heard the Dr. Frank say last night, the Tina Peters case back there in Colorado, where all she did was make a copy of the machines, you know, the hard drives, and basically preserve all of that evidence, and then she is almost arrested immediately. I mean, how does that even reconcile into a constitutional republic with open and fair elections?
Yeah, she was doing her duty by law to preserve the election records and not destroy them before the 2 years were over, and they're persecuting her for it, and that's completely wrong.
It was interesting. Nobody knew how to even to preserve it, and then they railroad her, quote unquote, for doing it when nobody she's supposed to do it, and nobody knew how to do it.
Isn't that interesting, though, that we've kind of had the same situation here where the voting records have been destroyed or you don't have access to them? Isn't that what's happened here, only there was no copying of it because our Clementine person here, the knitter-in-chief, didn't want to allow any of that to happen, which just, you know, I mean, come on, that reeks of something rotten in Denmark, doesn't it?
Exactly. If you have nothing to hide, you hide nothing. And our ROV has a lot to hide, and she's very careful about what she releases. And basically, my experience as an election observer in this most recent election, November 7th, the school board, was that they wanted to have very, very minimal information shared with election observers. So we were basically not allowed to be in the room where the actual procedures were taking
place. But aren't legally
you're
supposed to be allowed in the room? Aren't you legally supposed to be able to observe?
Yeah, it says Section Code 15201 says you're allowed to see the ballots and the signatures thereon. But she put up like a monitor, monitor, and we were watching through the screen. We weren't allowed to challenge any ballots, which is not true. She said if you wanted to challenge a ballot, you had to take her to court. And, yeah, it was just – it was crazy. And the biggest thing that I witnessed in this most recent election that I want to tell people about is that there was a broken chain of custody. So chain of custody is a way of preserving evidence for court to examine. And that you have to count the ballots. It's like counting cash in a cash box, and you lock it, and then you sign off with a date.
And legally, they're supposed to keep the chain of custody intact, right?
Yeah, and so they had no chain of custody. After it left the warehouse, it went up to the blue room. The blue room, they opened the ballots, removed them from the envelope, set them on open-air shelf, no container box or bin, no chain of custody whatsoever. They didn't count them and have an accounting of how many were in that stack. And then from that point on, they went to the Batcave, and in both places, they had no chain of custody.
So
wow.
Let's say that we gave them the benefit of the doubt and said that nothing was wrong with this election. But the fact that the procedures are not being adhered to and they're not following the law to keep the chain of custody, even if that election itself was not rigged, which I'm not saying it wasn't rigged because I don't believe that anything's not rigged at this point. But let's say it wasn't. Just the fact that they're using that procedure and not following the law makes it vulnerable to cheating, doesn't it?
Exactly. So that's something we need to be really careful about, and that's why it has to be a transparent election from beginning to end. Citizens need to go out there and observe for themselves, see with their own eyes what's happening, and then they'll know that what she's doing is not right.
And that's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. That should be an issue that, you know, hey, I guess as long as your side's winning, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like the more that people get engaged and want to observe more, she's like choking it down more and more, making it harder and harder for it to be transparent.
Yeah. Well, at first it was 6 feet for COVID. Now they want to do 6 feet for...
That's what Marxists do.
Yeah. They want to separate us, and they call us names like... I mean, I watched the Seer Summit back in January, and they use names like insurrectionists, election deniers. I think the word Kathy used was election skeptics. So that they have all kinds of ways of labeling us considering us the enemy, and we just want fair and transparent elections.
Yeah,
because the thing is, that's how you discredit anybody who disagrees with you. And
exactly.
They've been doing it for years. I mean, we were AstroTurf when the whole Tea Party thing started. Because we were discredited. Yep. But the worm is turning, and people are not listening as much as they used to, because after you find out you've been lied to about everything over and over and over again, you come to the conclusion that most of these people are liars.
Exactly.
And with that, I think we have a caller, but it's time to go to a break. Do we want to take the break and get the caller on the other side?
Yes.
And all right. So let's do that. We're going to take a break. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Run over by a reindeer, coming home from Nancy Pelosi's. Y'all might see a fearless female leader, but all I see is a typical drag queen. She was at a Christmas party with Michelle Obama and Bill Gates. When Paul Pelosi served her eggnog, she was back out on the streets like 98. She was wobbling on the sidewalk, Donner and Blitzen coming fast. They plowed right through her like a freight train and put her on her big self-righteous ass.
soul. Come on, God, run over.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota VX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota VX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has teamed up with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salutes to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the military for their service. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features one-of-a-kind decorations, ornaments, wreaths, and garland, vintage glassware and table settings, paintings, jewelry, sports memorabilia, and collectibles along with toys and treasures in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5, and Monday, 10 to 6.
Biden's a schmuck, Nancy's corrupt, Hillary Clinton, she really sucks, my tweets are rude, Michelle's a dude, Barack is a cuck, Adam 22, Hunter's laptop, smoking some rock, guns in the trash, high on some crack, sleeping with thoughts, pay off the cops, bribe the Ukraine, give him a job, Elizabeth Warren is a native, she's fully white and hates it, Klaus is a clown, Maxine Water frowns, Billy Seven, who knocked it down, down with the rhinos and globalists, and the fake news, they're full of, free my dogs locked up, Gen 6, America first, no jihadist, fire AOC, and Omar, please, was she the Tlaib, hope that you leave, down with the squad, election fraud, the climate change, nonsense, the job, Kerry and Greta Thunberg are always fear-mongering to you and me, news and words for Xi Jinping, the autonomous has a ding-a-ling. Don't go paddleboarding in Mother's Vineyard with Obama, chef. Alex Jones is always right. Sean King is really white. Obama's gay, derail a train. East Palestine, Russia, Ukraine. Maui in flames, aliens on planes. In the West Wing, finding cocaine. Fun that loses fans, Dylan is a trans. Billions to Iran, shout out to my fans. Chuck Schumer is a loser. Students being taught by groomers. Liz Cheney is a boomer. The left can't meme, no humor. Chris Christie, retire soon. You look like a Chinese spy balloon. Monkey pop, get your COVID shots. Cardi B's wop, high for the cops.
Oh boy, sober minds where the hits just keep on coming. Who knew that Trump AI could be such a good thing? It's been pretty funny. Quite
very frankly. Entertaining.
Very entertaining. I got one little short clip here that I want to play, and then let's get back to our caller here. This is a real. Here's a little Christmas ditty, real quick.
Diddy?
From,
a ditty.
It's a ditty from Tom McDonald.
Okay.
To have freedom of speech and a firearm hates himself because he's white. Frosty, the snow, they, them, is progressive as can be. He thinks girls are boys and the boys are girls and men can birth babies. There must have been some stupid somewhere deep inside his brain. But snowflakes melt when it gets hot, new video Friday. Oh, Tom McDonald has a video for you. Dropping this Friday at 9 a.m. Don't miss it because it's
f***ing awesome. New video. Okay.
All right, we got a couple of callers.
All right,
I
let's
believe
go to the, callers.
The first one is Jose. Jose, no, Joe?
Joseph, yeah.
Joseph, I'm go. Sorry. Perfect. I wasn't reading the board right. Joseph, how are you? No, you're fine. What can we do for you, Joseph?
Well, it's okay that my dad used to call me Jose, so. Well, you know what? I'm really concerned about the fact that we're losing the secret ballot. You know, I just voted in the special gateway election, and when the ballot came in the mail, it had a barcode on it. And that was disturbing to me. So, you know, I took it down and I like to vote in person anyway. So I surrendered that. They gave me a ballot. I walked over and you fill it out and then you put it in this little blue envelope and you walk over, you hand it to somebody who opens it up, looks at it, see who you voted for, and then sticks it in whatever basket depending upon, who you voted for. And it was just incredible to me. You know, first off, anybody else have that situation? And what can we do about that?
Well, I don't remember going into a basket or anything. I do remember having to surrender my ballot and mark a new one. And I do believe I put it in the machine. But, yeah, I'm with you about the surrendering of the ballot.
Right. Well, there was no machine for the special election. I thought I would put it into a machine, but I actually asked about that. And they said, oh, no, we carry that over next door. We're going to put it in the machines over there. So it didn't get put into a basket in this last election. And like I said, so it had a barcode on the ballot that you got in the mail. And so they could see who you were that was voting. And then it didn't get put into, I didn't put it into a machine. It got put into a basket. And then they said they were taking it over to another machine to another building where they were going to put it into the machine.
You know, I'm curious about your testimony. Right now we're collecting declarations from people that feel like their rights were violated during the election. And if that is in fact the case where they opened up your ballot and did not give you the secrecy that you deserved, you need to write a declaration stating the time and the date and what happened. And we're going to collect those and give them to the Board of Supervisors and also to the Sheriff's Department in the cases where election laws are violated.
How does he get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me through my website, which is votelaurahobbs.com, LauraHobbs.
All right, very good. You know, I could end voter fraud in one day. Everybody votes on the same day. In person, with ballots and your fingerprint.
With an ID.
ID and you put your thumbprint on the ballot, done.
Yep.
It's easy.
I've got one other comment or question. You know, when you segue off, I already think you're excellent on this issue, the voter fraud. I've had people, though, that have said, well, she's just the one-issue candidate. So when you get off of this, I would really love to have you say, these are my other top three issues and what I plan to do about them.
Okay, we'll do that. And then so we're going to talk about the Second Amendment, and then we'll go to the top three that she thinks, okay?
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And with that, we'll go to our second caller. We have Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. You there?
Hello?
Hello? You're on.
Hello?
Yes, you're on, Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know about the acid canal situation, what Laura knows about that. You know, there's been droughts in the past, and that canal was never dried up. Who's at the bottom of this canal?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's at the end is the Anderson Cottonwood, but the reason was that their resources were running low, but the huge problem was that the water board decided to sell the remaining resources off. So instead of even bolstering, which is what they should have done, they should have given them more water, they sold what little was left, and that was wrong. I know people were personally affected by that, and I think that should never happen in a county like ours that has so much water resources. And I think since that time, the board that that was guilty of doing that has been reconfigured, and there's different people on the board. But I believe those board members are appointed by the Board of Supervisors. So I think we need to do a better job of interviewing the candidates, making sure they're not beholden to someone who's going to, you know, convince them to sell off our water resources. I think that we need to maintain our rights here in Shasta County to have the water that's ours here first before being sold to other parts of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been droughts in the past, and that canal's never dried up, so there's definitely shenanigans went on there.
Yeah,
but they only allocated, they allocated way less water for the users than ever happened before.
Right.
I forget what it was, but it was like down to nothing.
I think that actually goes to the state. The state was
the one that said, hey, no, you're not going to get your full 70% or whatever it was. We're going to only allow you to have.
But the supervisors could have stepped in at some point.
Well, that's when it comes down to our local sovereignty. And we need, if the state is going to impose on us laws that that conflict with our constitutional rights, our God-given rights, then we have to assert ourselves as a county.
Are you willing to fight Sacramento on all these issues?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
All right.
Thank you, Laura.
We're going to move on, Steve.
All right.
All right. I want to try to cover all the bases here.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Second Amendment.
Yes,
are you pro Second Amendment?
Absolutely. I'm pro Second Amendment. I think it's based on that we have our very freedom that we have today. I don't think that we would be a free people anymore if we didn't have that. It's not just our personal freedom, but our freedom as the country. But we have the right to keep and bear arms so we can protect ourselves, so our very liberty, our own personal freedom from harm, from attack, from anything. So
what do you think the purpose of the Second Amendment was when it was written?
I think when it was written, well, most people were living in a rural situation. You have to have a gun. You have to be able to protect your family. And you can't just depend, you can't call 911, you know? So that was just foundational in the way of life. And I think it should still be that way today. And if it were, we'd be a lot safer as a community.
Do you think it had anything to do with our government being tyrannical?
Yeah, getting away from the tyrants, the English overlords, and protecting ourselves and our right to exist as a free country.
Well, you know, and that's the thing about the Second Amendment is that it was designed to protect us when our government got out of control. I think that's the biggest purpose of the Second Amendment is to keep our own government from taking over our rights, because that historically, yeah, that's what governments do, is they enslave their population through laws and overreach and everything else. And we're kind of seeing that right now in the big push to get rid of the Second Amendment. So I think it's huge that the Second Amendment protects all the other rights, like you say, but the original intent was our own government was out of control.
Yeah.
So. And,
all right. So what are your top three? If you had three to pick, what are your top three issues that you want to address?
Transparent governance, fair elections, obviously, and no lockdowns, but also the homeless issue, I think, in this area. I think anyone who didn't want to deal with that or look at that at all would be remiss. And I also want to reduce, county regulations and fees, specifically.
Where does crime fit into this?
Well, crime is related, to the homelessness as well and, you know, drug addicted people that are gonna create crimes in order to support their addictions. And I feel like we need to, yeah, enforce the laws already in the books, like I already said. But
very good.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, we do. We have a caller. We have Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, gang. You know, I don't know if this is off topic or not, but a lot of the problems we have in the state and in the country is politicians violating their oaths of office by not following the Constitution. Is there any way we get the teeth in that to charge them criminally with violating their oaths? And that would solve a lot of our problems if they stuck to a written document. Our founding document, it's not a living, breathing instrument. It is what we're supposed to live by. And I know, well, actually, by starting here, it's ground up locally. You know, I'd like to see what we can do locally in our county and through the state and so on. I know it's an open-ended question, but I'd really like to see some teeth put in that to adjudicate these people who violate the roads.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I was thinking about, too, as we ended that last topic, is that it's not just the criminals on the street that are drug addicted. It's the white-collar crime, and it's the crime of our bureaucrats who are stealing our elections. And I think that all political power is inherent in the people, and this is provided to us in our Declaration of Independence. And it's the governments derive their powers from the consent of the governed, and we need to be more firm in dealing with bureaucrats who are violating oaths of office.
I think we need to put one more word in there. They derive their just powers from the consent of the government. And,
there you go.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But I think that, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons over the last 20 or 30 years, however long you've been involved in these different aspects of the political movement. But we've come back. We keep coming back to local control.
It has to be. That's where the power is.
It has to start at local control. Yeah. Absolutely, no question.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the state's after us in Shasta, because we're contravening their power. Good night. Mayberry Madison, I think it was in 1812, I believe. Anything that is contrary to the Constitution is null and void. That is precedent setting. And why is it not observed and used today?
Well, the problem is you've got court decisions and they're relying on precedent as opposed to the actual document and constitution that they're supposed to be following. And I think that needs to be changed. And that's going to change when you get enough of a groundswell from the people at every level saying we've had enough. We're not going to do it anymore.
I was going to say more people standing up to that.
Yeah, our elected judges, you know, okay, Dominion voting machine or whatever electronic means they have are putting these people in power. We're stripped of any power because of fraud. And that's what I have to say today. Thank you for the show. And
well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Andrew. So we got about 10 minutes left. I mean, have we covered everything or do we have any additional stuff that we need to cover? I'm not sure where we're at.
I want to ask, what was the tipping point for you to say, I'm in. I'm doing this. I'm putting everything on hold and I'm going to run for board of supervisor.
Well, honestly, I didn't. At first, I was hoping that someone else would step up and do it. You know, I asked other members of the community that have been activists for a long time, and I wanted them to step forward. But when it was clear that they weren't able to because of family obligations or other political work they were doing in the community or within the state, then I realized there was going to be a void there. And with the current candidates at that moment that had already declared, and being a member of District 2 myself, I wanted to have representation. I wanted to have good government, and I didn't feel like the candidates that had so far announced were going to fill those qualifications.
I think that's the benefit and the curse of our form of government, is the fact is it's a citizen government, or supposed to be. And it started out that way, and the citizens have to participate in the government, and if the less they participate, the more out of control that government gets. So it's a blessing and a curse that we control our destiny if we control our destiny, and we need to start controlling our destiny, because if we don't, someone else starts to control our destiny, and we can see that erosion of our freedoms over time. And just the last 30 years, I mean, our lives are completely different than they were 30 years ago when we actually knew it, freedom. And the young people coming up, especially the college-educated ones, don't even know what freedom is anymore. They've been so indoctrinated at the schools, and we've seen examples of this because, you know, Harvard and Penn, you know, UPenn or whatever, Penn State, and what's the other one? I can't think of it. But they've been indoctrinated into Marxism, so they don't understand the responsibility that goes with a free society, which is you have to participate at the local level, and nobody wants to do it. We all want to live our lives. But it's part of the moral society that they talked about, that this was only built for a moral society and was wholly inadequate for anybody else. And that is our blessing and our curse. Yeah.
They don't even question it because they're warm and fuzzy right now. And they don't realize it's not going to last that way.
It's,
you know,
getting
what?
A lot less fuzzy
yeah,
lately.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? They don't have to think about it, or it's not quite affecting them yet.
Yeah. And, well, 2020 opened a lot of people's eyes when that election got stolen from Trump. People realized that the only way they could affect change was going to be at the local level, because the federal government wasn't going to be there. The state government wasn't going to be there. Nobody was, you know, all these court cases got dismissed because of lack of standing and, you know, all the
things. Doesn't matter what evidence you have. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All the governmental things that you would think would protect us, the judicial system and everything else, was not happening. So it became immediate to people, especially in the Patriot Movement, that you have to get involved locally. You have to step up and do something. And you can't just sit back and expect, you know, the state to come and do for you or the
Nor
federal
do you
government.
Want them.
And you don't want them to either. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And even like Dr. Frank said, you know, he started his journey at the top and realized that, yeah, it's at the bottom that we got to go back to the bottom and work our way up and take the power back that we do have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really crazy because when you look at everything across the board, you know, talking about the elections and stuff, I'd like to do a reconciliation of the numbers at the federal level, if nothing else, just for fun. How many people voted and how many voters were there actually registered to vote? You know, well, look mm-hmm. at the numbers, because it doesn't
it's
map
out. It's not going to add up.
That's
because there's no way.
Because common mm-hmm. sense tells you there's no way. Mm-hmm. Just by the numbers, looking at who attended the rallies on both sides, mm-hmm. it made zero common sense, you know, and what's the old saying, you know, from the outlaw Josie Wells, where he says, yeah, you can pee down my back all day long, but quit telling me it's raining, and that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. All right, a couple things. We want to mention about the sheriff's case. That is one, that there is an election case here in mm-hmm. Shasta County in regards to voter fraud, and the case number is 22SO-35986. Also, need to ask you, will you debate?
Yes,
the
absolutely.
Other people anytime?
On January 4th, there'll be a debate at 6 p.m. Actually, they're calling it a conversation, but it's at 6 p.m. at Shasta Bible College, and it's hosted by the Republican Assembly.
Would you debate someplace else?
Yes, definitely. Okay. If you have one here in the studio, I'd be happy
well,
to.
We might, yeah, maybe we could do one on our podcast.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
Mount
Top Media. Also, on the sheriff's election case, if you've got evidence of voter
yes.
fraud, if you've got, you know, things that you think were out of character or unusual or didn't follow the rules, whatever the case
just
may be.
Just like Joseph called in about.
Right, disenfranchised when you voted, whatever it is. The election case, the sheriff, should call the sheriff and tell him and give him your story and ask how do you report it. But the case number is 22SO-35986.
Yep.
35986.
All right. All right. Do you have any last thoughts or last things that you want to get out there and how to get in contact with you and things like that?
Yeah, I'll be hosting many town halls. They're all listed on my website. I'd like the community to attend and ask me any question. They're open mics, so you can ask whatever you want. It's free format. And my website is votelaurahobbs.com. So LAURAHOBBS. You can find all my videos where I spoke before the Board of Supervisors defending Shasta sovereignty, talking about election fraud, talking about the evidence that I uncovered when I analyzed the CVR data. And you can find that all on my website, as well as to donate and contact me directly.
So you've been going to the Board of Supervisor meetings pretty regularly for quite a while.
I had no idea who you are, and I saw you spoke on several occasions, and I thought you were well-spoken. I go up there and I make a complete mess out of everything, but I have a tendency to maybe get a little too angry about stuff. But I like what you had to say, and then we met later, and that's how, you know, I didn't even know you were running at the time you were speaking.
So. Yeah, well, this wasn't part of my long-term plan. I had no plans to be a politician.
So this was Plan B?
Well,
plan B.
Want to appreciate you coming in and talking with us, and we'll have you back before the election and go over different stuff. And like, say, maybe set up a debate.
That would be good. I think the debate between you and Dr. Sloan, so we'd have the doctor debate, you know, and that would be great. And
are you two the only two running?
No, there's two other candidates, Suzanne Bearmore and Alan Long.
Yeah, okay. We'd have to get a different format than the studio for that, because that would have to be more of a, like we used to do in the Tea Party days, where you've got them on a table.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And set the
I will say I haven't reached out to Alan Long. I have reached out to Susan, and she has never gotten back to me.
Well, that's I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I put it up there. So anyway,
so,
we appreciate you.
So I do want to bring up the fact that, and then we got in the chat room there, that Dr. Frank, put the slide up of Albert Einstein, said that the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it. And only if every single citizen feels duty-bound to do his share in the defense of the Constitution, in this defense, are the constitutional rights secured. Albert Einstein. I think there's a lot to that, because we were taught as kids growing up, we had a constitution test, we were taught that it was important to be free, and freedom had all of these, things that were good about it, and the blessings of freedom were something that, you never want to lose, because it was so important to have a life that was, a good life and productive and doing something for you and the neighbors, and everybody's standard of living would go up. And now we've started living the opposite, the Marxist dream, and everybody's standard of living is
crashing. Well, we had
crashing.
No idea what they were doing, and we kind of fell asleep at the wheel on different stuff, because we did take it for granted. We didn't get plugged in. So going back to the statement, we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing.
And I got to apologize. I missed the town hall.
Oh, we did.
Town hall.
Oh.
So we'll have to try to catch that up.
Well, I guess we're going to come to the end. I'm so sorry we missed it. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
We're there.